It's good to be here. Thanks for the opportunity to share the good news about Jesus and about God, because we serve a risen Lord. Amen. And so we're real thankful that we have an opportunity to speak and to talk about Him. And today, we're going to share about Psalm 23. And so if you want to go ahead and turn to your Bibles, we'll stay there most of the time. I'll go into Luke chapter 7 too later. But tell you a little bit about myself. I'm the associate pastor at Porterfield Baptist Church. I've been there for 15 years. It's crazy how time flies. I started there as a youth pastor and have moved into more of the associate role. So continue to pray for us as Porterfield as we try to make a difference. And the great thing is we're sister churches. And so we're praying for you guys as well, that God would bless you, that God would continue to give you strength, and that you can continue to minister to people, because it's not what church you go to, it's about us serving the same Lord, right? And so that's what we want to do. We want to accomplish what God has called us to. And so what we're going to do with this Psalm 23, because most of us, unfortunately, have heard this at funerals sometimes, and sometimes we kind of glance over this passage of Scripture. So today we're going to look at it backwards. We're going to read it in a backwards fashion. We're going to start with the last verse first and work our way forward, going backwards. So what we want to do is look at Psalm 23, and we're going to look at verse 6, just that first part of verse 6, part B. And it says this. So Psalm 23, verse 6, part B of that verse, the last part of the verse. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow, what an amazing thing that we should be thinking about and dwelling on is the fact that the goal and the purpose of what we want to accomplish is to be in the house of the Lord forever. Now, there's two illustrations that are being used in this passage. One is, of course, the shepherd and the sheep. And another illustration is this banquet. And that God is telling us, and yet David's using this to tell us, that we need to get focused on the fact that God wants to reveal things to us, and He's honoring us with this great banquet feast, and He also wants to be the shepherd of our life that we'll turn to later. But here's the main goal, and if we would look at any of the scriptures, we'd know that, like in Hebrews, where it talks about running the race, that the object of that race to run is Jesus. Jesus is the goal. Being in the house of the Lord is what we want to accomplish, is to be near and close with God. One of the things that you think about with Cain and why he was so upset, the fact that he had murdered his brother and realizing the consequences when God spoke to him, is that he would never be with God again. God was casting him out in that relationship. And so one of the greatest things that we could ever do is making sure that we are in the fellowship and presence of the Lord. That's our main goal, is to be with God. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, when they had failed God and ate of the fruit that God had said not to eat of, they hid their presence from God. They were hiding. They were embarrassed by their sin. God had not changed in that scenario. God was the same God. God was still loving and caring. But they had changed. They had no longer felt the ability to go in the presence of the God because they recognize their evil and their sin before God. See, a lot of times our sin is what, or it's not all the time, I mean, it's all the time that our sin keeps us from God. And so the main point here today is this: dwell in the house of the Lord. That's our main goal. That's our main purpose on this slide. When it talks about dwelling in the house of the Lord, we want to dwell in His house. We want to be in His presence. We want to be a part of what He's called us to. And so many times we don't think about the real purpose of our life. The real mission of why we're here is to be close to God. As I was reading and actually doing my devotion on the way here, I was reading the part and listening to the part. I wasn't reading because that would be bad, wouldn't it? Be reading and driving at the same time. I was listening to the audio. And it was sharing the fact that when David was anointed, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God was upon David. And so God, you know, David and God had a close relationship from the anointing of him becoming the king as this young boy. And so that gave him the power to face Goliath. It gave him the ability to know that God was with him and no matter what circumstance. And so the main goal of our life is to be in his presence, to be with God, to know God. And we're so thankful to be a Christian that we can know that his Holy Spirit dwells in us, that we are a part of his, and that we're his child, and we're here, you know, we're here with him today. And when we go out, God is still with us because his Holy Spirit lives inside of us because we have chosen to follow and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So again, the main goal of Psalm 23 is to get us to that place where we understand that the main goal of this passage is for us to dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. As we look at part A of that verse 6, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. What an encouragement. What a good thing to know. For us that know that God is looking for good. He wants us to be loved. He wants us to be cared about. He wants us to understand that he's with us. And we live in a time of grace. Thank goodness for his grace. Where I know my sinful attitudes and the things I do on my own and try to do and try to accomplish, and he sees me and he loves me and he wants to do good in my life. He wants to show his love to me. This is a thing that we should not lose. When we look at Psalm 23, we so much look to the shepherding and lose sight of this, that God wants to follow us with love and goodness in our life. As we honor him, he wants to bestow this goodness. And we see this in the life of so many of the people that God has called to live their lives for him. And the people that, like my grandma and grandpa and other people in my family who love Jesus. And I saw the goodness and the love that they had. That was God showing his love and goodness in their life. Isn't it great to know that God will be with us, that we're not called to just walk this life alone, but God is looking out for us. We have somebody to turn to, and while we don't know all the answers, we don't understand everything and why things have to happen, why cancer has to happen, we understand that he is still loving and still good to us, no matter what we face in this life, that we know he cares about us. And so this is the thing that we should look to, the point on this next slide that we should keep in mind, is that his goodness, your goodness, Lord, and your love follow me. As I think about that, and you think about following the leader, as you walk, as you turn, or as a child, you teach people how to follow the leader. They would just go in a line, and the kid would just take them places, and the next person would follow. Think about that, that love, that goodness of God follows you. It's right behind you. It's right there for you because of God's great love. Because of his goodness, it follows you. It's a showing that God is in continual pursuit of you. He pursues you. Sorry, I'm a little bouncy today, huh? But he actually pursues you with his goodness and his love. Now we look at Psalm 23, verse 5, part B. So we're reading the last part of verse 5. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Well, this I couldn't help but think about as we talk about this anointing that God shows us. It says, you anoint my head with oil. We need to keep that in mind because God wants us to be blessed in the sense that he cares about you. He wants to let you know with his passion, with his love, that you are cared about, that you are valued, that you're his child. And it says that when he's in God's presence, when he comes before the Lord, he is anointed with this oil and his cup overflows because God has set a great banquet, a great feast in the presence of his enemies to show him that he's valuable and important. And that's what God does for us. He anoints us. He blesses us. So you anoint my head with oil is what the slide says. But as I think about this in Luke chapter 7, verse 45, what a powerful story that we read here in Luke chapter 7, verse 45. And in the other scriptures that are close to that, if you get a chance, I would encourage you to read the whole thing, because it's just a great story in the Bible about Jesus coming to Simeon's house. And then he's coming into this place, and he's got tax collectors, he's got all these other people, the Pharisees are there, and they're all kind of judging Jesus and who he is. And he's not really taken as serious. I mean, just think about this. If you invited Jesus to your house, would you make it special? Would you make it kind of special? Would you make it to where people would kind of, you'd clean up your house, you'd make sure it was nice looking, and then when your guest, Jesus, came to your house, that you would make sure things were taken care of, you'd take his jacket, you'd take all the things and make sure he was well taken care of, wouldn't you? But they didn't treat Jesus this way in this story, in Luke chapter 7. They just kind of had him come in. They didn't treat him with respect or reverence or love. They brought him in to really question him, to see what he was about. They kind of came from their thought that they were more important than Jesus was. They were welcoming this person they didn't really know, didn't really have a whole lot of respect for, to see more about him. And so there's this woman that comes into the scene. She understands who Jesus is, and she starts weeping at his feet, weeping so much that her tears wash his feet. And then she takes her hair, and she takes her hair and just uses that to wipe off his feet. And then she takes this jar of expensive perfume, and she pours it over his feet. And in this verse 45, this is from the NLT version of the Bible, it says, "You neglected the courtesy of the olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume." And so we see this, that Jesus is saying, you know, you've neglected me. You didn't really take care of me. Just think about this, that Jesus came to this person's house, and he didn't take it seriously. He didn't really recognize who Jesus was. This woman is recognizing who Jesus is. She appreciates the fact of who Jesus is, and she's weeping at his feet, washing his dirty feet. Think about this, that when you were looking at the Bible times, how you would wear sandals and how filthy the dirt streets would get your feet all dirty and nasty, you know? And here, this would be a customary thing that if you were coming to a banquet or a feast at somebody's house, that this person would provide a way for you to clean your feet and wash your feet and have your feet washed. This is what we see Jesus do when all power and authority is given to him. He washes his disciples' feet in an act of service to show them the love of God. And see, Jesus didn't get that when he came to this person's house. The other thing that they would do, and this is what Jesus is referring to in this verse, is that they would oftentimes anoint you with oil with your hair. So because of the dry road or the travel that you were going through on your journey and you coming to this feast or this banquet, that you would receive oil to kind of nurture your hair and remove the dryness of your hair to give you that look of like you were in a place of respect and honor. Jesus didn't receive that. But this is what God does for us. This is what God does for us. He anoints our head with oil so that our cup overflows. What does David mean by this cup overflows? This joy that is resonating in him of knowing and being with his Savior, of knowing and being with his God, that he is in the presence of God, that God takes the time to show love and goodness to his servant, and he cares about his servant. And so he's lifting to this servant, David, and all of us to a higher place to know that we are valued and we are cared about and that God cares about each one of us. So you are neglected the courtesy of oil to anoint my head, but she anointed my feet with rare perfume. The cup overflows because we are in God's presence, because we're with God. See, the joy is, we can't find joy in anything else in this life. I know. I've tried. We try to look at things and try to make things else happy. As I tell the story, I used to have my mom, well, I guess she felt sorry for me. She got me a 1980 Camaro, my first car. And it was cool. It had T-tops. It was red. And it was nice. It had glass-back mufflers and headers. And it had all the cool things to make it sound really cool. But I put too much stock in that car. I put it ahead of God at times. I'd drop on my sister off to school and think how cool I looked. All the junior high kids thought I was cool. All the girls thought I was cool. And that became my identity. Your real identity is in Jesus. Our true identity is in God. Let Him be the one that fills your cup. Let Him be the one that overflows your cup. Because of the goodness, the love that He shows you. He wants to anoint you. He wants to bring you to a place that you can dwell in His house forever. Psalm 23, verse 5, part A. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It is so good to know that we are a welcome guest for Jesus. Jesus, like we see in Luke chapter 7, really probably wasn't that exciting for Him to come to His house. But Jesus and God welcome you at His table. He's prepared a great feast for us. A feast that will last eternity. He wants to take care of you. He wants to provide you. You are His honored guest when you come into His house. That's how much God loves you. To know that He prepares a table for us in front of our enemies, that people will see what God is doing in us, and those people may be against you or say things about you, but it doesn't matter because you're at God's table. God's prepared you a table, and He wants you to be with Him and rest in the knowledge that He's with you. He's for you, and He welcomes you in. So many times we get concerned about what the world thinks about us or what others may say against us. And we worry about that too much because our main focus should be at sitting at the Lord's table. That He's provided a great banquet in your honor. That He wants you to be recognized in His presence. So many times we get distracted by what the world says or what the world does or our enemies, and we don't lose the value of what God's really trying to provide for us. What God is really trying to do for us. So you prepare a table for me. Psalm 23, verse 4, part B. I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, when we think about the rod and the staff, a lot of times we don't really think about the meanings behind this rod and staff and making sure that we understand what the rod and staff's job were. The rod was a protection. The rod was used to hurt anything that would come after the sheep. A wolf, the rod would be used to knock that wolf out, to hurt the wolf, to get it away from the sheep, to protect the sheep. The staff was a guide. It was to help the sheep or protect the sheep from falling off the cliff or getting out of a bad situation. It was a guide. It was to help them know where to go, to be led by. So God is wanting us, and David is sharing this, that he understands that God is there to protect him and also guide him in his life. And this is the thing we need to take from this psalm, this great psalm. Is that God is our guide and He's our protector. As you think about all the different psalms in the scriptures, as we read these psalms, these are a lot of the ringing out that we should know. That God is our guide, He's the one that's going to lead us and where we need to go, and He is also our protector. How many verses have refuge? Or, you know, He is our rock. That God is our protector. God is there to shelter us. God is there to guide us. His word is a light into our path. So when we think about our relationship with God and how He is the shepherd in our life, what's His mission? What's His purpose? Well, it's to protect you. and it's to guide your life. To comfort him. And this is the great thing that we all know, is by his guidance, by his protection, what evil can we really fear? How can we really fear the things that are out in the world when we know that our God is there to protect us and guide us? When we hold on to verses like we know that the fact that he will never leave us nor forsake us. These are things that we can hold on to because we know that God is our protector and our guide. And that we can have comfort in that, not to fear, not to be afraid, and not to walk in that fear, but to know that God is with you. He is your shepherd. And he was there to protect you and guide you. And that protection and guidance to give us comfort. That's the thing we should hope in. Our hope is in him because we know that he is our protector. We know that he is our guide. If you think about it, he protected us from sin through his blood, and he guides us through the Holy Spirit who leads us into knowing what we need to do next in our life. Moving on, Psalm 23, verse 4, part A. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the shadow of death in some translations, either one is so good. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or even though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death. It's talking about these times when we walk through the darkness of life, these hardships that we face, these trials that we face in life. To know that God is with you, not just in the good times, but in the storms of life. That God is with you in the darkest valleys that you face in this life, that God is still there, and his mission has not changed. He's still there to protect you and also to help you in the way to know what to do next. I know I have had those times in my life where there's been those dark valleys. I didn't understand what God was doing. I didn't understand why this was happening to me or what was occurring in my life to cause this. Well, the good thing to know is that God is with you even in those dark valleys. To understand as a Christian, we don't escape those dark valleys. We embrace those valleys because we know that our God is with us. As you think about David fighting Goliath, he didn't see it as everybody else, as the Israelites trembled with fear when they came up against Goliath. David didn't have the fear because he knew his God was with him. See, when David looked, he didn't see the Goliath being bigger. He looked and saw God being bigger than the giant. Oftentimes, we are studying the giant, and the giant becomes bigger and bigger and bigger in our eyes because we're focused on the giant. We're focused on the problem. We're focused on the issue in our life. But David was looking at how big his God was and realized that no matter what giant laid in his path, God was bigger than the giant. He was able to overcome because of his faith. And are we putting our eyes on the problem or the giant, or our eyes on God? See, David still had to go through Goliath. David, just because he was brave and because he put his faith in God, didn't remove the giant. He still had to run out there, take his sling, swing it, let it go. But because of his faith, God got him through there. As we really look at David's story, there's so many things that we could look to of other dark times. When Saul was pursuing David, wanting to kill David, when he threw the spear to try to hit David. See, giants didn't just end for David with the Goliath. There was dark valleys at different points in David's life. Times where he had to hide in a cave to escape Saul's pursuit. But God was with him in those dark times. And God can be with us. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Again, going back to this, that God is the one that guides us. God is the one that's going to be in front of us that we should pursue. As we go back to Hebrews and look at the running the race, as I mentioned, that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And then the idea of that is to not let sin entangle us and not let anything hinder us from running and pursuing the race towards Jesus, that we also need to understand that he's the one that's guiding us and that he has the right path for his name's sake. See, here's the thing is, we're not just living for ourselves. We shouldn't be thinking about, you know, living for myself. I should be living my life for God. I should be living my life for his name. Because I'm honoring him when I do so. See, it shouldn't be about us and all the things we want to do in this life. It shouldn't be about us and wanting to have these possessions or have these things. I'm not saying those are bad to have those things, but the most important thing about your life, my life, is living for his name, for his name's sake, to represent him, to shine for him. You guide me along the path that is right, the right path. We need to keep that in mind. You guide me along the right path. Looking at Psalms 23, verse 2 and part of verse 3. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. One of the interesting things about this is that sometimes we don't want to do the things that God tells us to do, right? It's interesting as it says, he makes me lie down. There's going to be times in your life where God will want you to do certain things, and you're like, oh, no, God, I'm busy, or I got things to do, or I got this to do. And God says, nope, I'm going to have you take a rest. I want you to take a rest. That's why we need to make sure we honor the Sabbath, because God wants us to be rest, to have rest, to be rested up for the next thing he calls us to do. The bottom line here is that he cares for us. It says, you care for me, is the slide that I have for this, is that he cares for you. He values you. He really does very much value who you are. As he leads me by quiet waters, he refreshes my soul. See, God is in pursuit of you so much that he doesn't want to just leave you and say, okay, well, now you're redeemed and I've saved you and that's it. God wants to continue the relationship on. Isn't that great to know that God cares about us, that God cares about you, that he wants to get involved with your daily life, that he wants to refresh you, that he wants to be with you to the point where he is the one that's guiding you and giving you strength, that he wants to watch over you, that he really values who you are? Why do we turn to so many other things when God is the one that cares for us? As you look at Isaiah 46, one of my favorite passages, is one of the things that God calls out to the people and he says, what are you doing? You hire a goldsmith and you make it into some god. You make it into some animal, some creature. You put it on a stand, you start worshiping, you call out to it, and it doesn't hear you, it doesn't care for you. It's not going to come off that stand and rescue you. It's not going to do anything for you. It's just going to sit there. It's a burden. People put it on its shoulders, and they carry it around to place, and it doesn't do anything. It's just a burden for the weary beast. They carry it. And God says in that passage, he says, I am the one. And he also talks about my purpose will stand. Why do we go after chasing all these other things in life when God is the one that cares for us? God cares for you. He really deeply cares for each one of us. This is what David recognized. You care for me. See, there's sometimes when God calls us to do things, I know for me, part of my testimony is that my dad was abusive. He was a minister, and he lived a double life. He was fake here at church, and then go home, and he was mean to me, my sister, and my mom. My mom had cerebral injuries from being hit. So when God worked in my heart, I had a lot of anger in my heart, and God spared me from that anger, and he healed me, and I saw God's love, and God's love poured into me. And it changed me. And so one of the things I wanted to serve the Lord, I wanted to do whatever he called me to. And when he called me to minister, I said, okay, God, I'll do anything but that. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be fake. I don't want to be a hypocrite. For 2 years, I struggled because I said, God, I'll do anything. I'll teach. I just don't want to become a pastor. And for 2 years, I struggled. I wasn't happy because God knew what I was called to do. He knew me better than I knew myself. And so at 18, I finally said, okay, God, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. And from that point on, God's blessed me because I've been in line with what he wanted for me because he knew what was best for me. God knows what's best for you. And sometimes we can go in kicking and screaming and we can make a big fuss, but he cares for you. He loves you. So sometimes there'll be things that you don't want to do that God calls you to because he really knows what needs to be done. He knows what's best for you because of his great love for you. And this is the part where we have to trust God and say, God, I don't know what you're doing here, but I'm going to put my faith and trust in you because I know that you care for me. Psalm 23, verse 1. One that we probably all remember because it's usually one that was first read usually. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Wow. A lot of times we focus on that first part, the Lord is my shepherd, but do we focus on the last part of that verse? I lack nothing. See, when you allow Jesus to be the shepherd of your life, the leader of your life, there's nothing you really lack. All these distractions that we have don't really matter, do they? Because when you have Jesus as your shepherd, or David is referring to God, but I think he had a preview of what was to come. He knew that God was going to send a Savior. He knew that Jesus was on the horizon. So he says, the shepherd, you're my shepherd. And there's no coincidence that Jesus talks about himself being the good shepherd. And so as this, we go and we think about, you are the good shepherd. You're the one that's going to take care of my needs and help me and watch over me and protect me. You're going to be my guide. You're going to be my strength. You're going to be the one I look to. That he really cares about us. He wants to lead us. He wants to watch over us, protect us, and guide us. He wants to take care of our personal needs that we have. You know, there's been so many times in my life that, you know, I was worried about the wrong things. You know, as being a young person in my 20s, I was like, Lord, I want a girlfriend. I want a wife. I want somebody to be with. I want somebody to have time with. And God told me, Eric, if you focus on your ministry, I'll bring her to you. And it didn't happen until I was 27 years old, but God brought the person that I was supposed to be with right to me. And God revealed that to me. And you know, one of the things I think about now is like, you know, we sometimes focus on the wrong things. Not that they're bad things, but we don't fully trust God to the point to let him be our leader in our life. Is he your good shepherd? Is he leading you and guiding you and directing you in your life? Are you looking to him? As you read the book of Judges, you see that at the end of that, it talks about different times that people did things the right, what they thought were right in their own eyes. Wow, what a powerful statement in the book of Judges. That everyone did everything that they thought was right in their own eyes. Didn't that seem like the world today, that a lot of people just do what they think is right in their own eyes? They're not looking to God. Because we shouldn't be looking and doing things that we think is right. We should be looking to the good shepherd and asking him what is right. See, I can have my own personal opinions, but what matters is taking the word of God and seeing what the Word of God says. And basing your life upon His Word and His leading instead of looking to the world and doing what is right in your own eyes. He is the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11, which I've referred to already, but I want to share it. just such a great passage of Scripture here as well. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's what Jesus did. See, he's that protector that he didn't want us to stay in a sinful state. God recognized long before that sacrifices of animals' blood was just an interest payment. It wasn't paying it in full. But there would have to be some other way for the people of the earth to be redeemed to God. And so he sent his one and only Son, that he would lay down his life for all of us. Because Jesus says himself, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Thank goodness. Thank God so much for him laying down his life. As we get into a time of ready for communion here after this song of invitation, to know that Jesus has come to rescue us, to save us, that he is the good shepherd, that he loves you and cares for you. Let's look at Psalm 23 a little differently. Not just use it as a verse that we share during funeral services, but to understand that verse, that passage, is really about life and living your life and understanding that God cares deeply about you, that he wants to guide and direct you in this life, that he's prepared a great banquet, a table in the presence of your enemies, that he wants to anoint your head with oil to show you love and kindness, so that your cup will overflow, that he is the good shepherd. He wants to be there to lead you, to guide you in this life, to help you walk through the darkest times of your life, to make you rest when you don't want to, that he cares deeply for you. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak for you today. I pray, Lord, that whatever words or whatever passage of Scripture, that you would just help every one of us to think about you, to dwell upon you, to put you first in our lives, to know that you care for us deeply. And as I think about that banquet feast, Lord, that one day when we enter your kingdom, we will be the guest of honor. We will be welcomed into your kingdom. And we will be loved, and we can dwell in your house forever and ever because of what you've done. But you are so excited to receive us that you're preparing a place for us right now for us to be received, for us to be loved on, for us to be cared for. And Lord, during this life, help us to be in your presence through your Spirit, to walk in fellowship with you, to allow you to anoint us with your oil, so that we can hold on to the joy of knowing you and your Holy Spirit resonating inside of us and living here, that we have your boldness and your strength from you. The Lord, that all the things that you do for us, that you care for us, that your rod and your staff, they're there to protect us and guide us, and that you deeply care for us, Lord. You care about our needs. You care about the darkest valleys that we go through, the shadow of death that we face, and that you want to be there with us in the midst of those. We thank you that you're the shepherd of our life, that there's nothing else that can compare to you. We lack nothing because you're our provider. You're our God. Be with us today. And I pray, Lord, today, if there's anybody here that is questioning their faith in you, or maybe has never accepted you as Lord and Savior, that they would profess your name and acknowledge you as Lord, that you came to die upon a cross for all of our sin, and that you paid that debt that we could not pay. That they would come and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sin, and confess your name, saying that you are the Lord of their life, that they want to live for you. Thank you for this time and this opportunity today. In your wonderful name I pray, Jesus. Amen.
Of weakness. Thank you. sing Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we understand, dear Lord, a few things in this world that You've given to us, and that You are our shepherd. You do walk with us. You do guide us. You do direct us. You do care for us. And dear Lord, we need to keep that in our hearts. As we leave this place, dear Lord, help us to walk in Your way. Help us to do Your will. Help us to show others Your love, to be there for them. Just help walk with us, dear Lord, as we leave this place. Be with us and walk with us until we come back again. In Jesus' name, amen.